This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, top stories of the day. Shohei Ohtani is in the news again. And another negative story. Now all the gambling stuff. It seems that was kind of proved he had nothing to do with that, and he was working with a shyster and all that. But now, here we go again. Shohei Ohtani and his agent are being sued by a Hawaii real estate investor and a broker who were fired from a $240 million luxury housing development, according to the Associated Press. There's a lot of expensive homes being built on Hawaii's Big Island, on the Hapuna Coast at the Moana Key Resorts. Is that it? And Ohtani bought one of those homes for $17 million. He was apparently asked to get involved because of his celebrity and promotional value. And then there were reports of him buying the homes first surfaced around April 2024. So now, according to the lawsuit, Shohei and his agent, Nez Bilelo, are accused of torturous interference and unjust enrichment. And the agent allegedly kept asking for concessions until the point where developer Kevin J. Hayes Sr. and real estate broker Tomoko Matsumoto were pushed out. Whew! This is an interesting one. Ohtani plans to live there in the offseason and will construct a small hitting and pitching facility for preseason training. And that's all we know right now. So we'll keep our eyes peeled on that story going forward. Fresno State, we're going to talk a little Wyoming Mountain West stuff coming up, but Fresno State is naming a very familiar, well, name as their starting quarterback, EJ Warner. The son of Hall of Famer Kurt Warner is now set to be the starter for the Fresno State Bulldogs in their week zero start against Kansas on August 23rd. That's cool. That's cool. Fresno State. I'll be curious to see what kind of quarterback EJ Warner is. Also in the news, the top 25 came out. And you got Texas, even though they're a dog in their first game, against Ohio State. Penn State, Ohio State number 3. Clemson number 4. Boy, that's going to be that Texas-Ohio State game. Woohoo! How to start the season off the right way. So the top 25's out. Kind of shocking here. The Colorado Buffaloes received one vote to land in the top 25. Is that a good sign? Is that a bad sign? I'm shocked. I wouldn't have thought they got one vote there. But they're in it. And the Colorado Buffaloes, certainly going to be interesting. You know, Deion Sanders, Coach Prime, and one of his press conferences recently, obviously the healthy stuff, he's good again. That was a scary situation for Coach Prime, but now he's back. He's feeling better. He had to have the surgery to remove his bladder after a cancerous tumor was found. So he's been trying to exercise. He's walking now more and more, at least a mile around campus, all of that. Now you start setting your, because that was the big talk over the summer, is like, where is Coach Prime and what's going on? You know, Deion Sanders Jr. was putting out cryptic stuff like, I'm sitting here by him and I'm not going to leave his side until he's ready. And then that was a big concern for Buffs fans. Now you can put that aside and focus on life without Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter. Travis Hunter played both ways for Jacksonville over the weekend, and we know we talked about Shador's performance, so it's kind of interesting just to kind of see them all break off. It's got to be odd. But what's next? You know, this team, they won a lot of football games, and they did it with some miraculous stuff from Shedeur, from Travis Hunter. How are they going to be this season? This is an interesting year for the Colorado Buffaloes. I mean, I think there's pressure on Coach Prime because he puts the pressure on himself. No question about it. They went from 4 to 9 wins in his second season, but losing big names. And, you know, especially at the quarterback position, a guy so good they retired his number along with Travis Hunter's. You got this interesting battle going on. Caden Salter, transfer. And then your freshman, Julian Juju Lewis. Both, you know, at this stage, competing for the starting job. And they added some star power, too, with more star power on this coaching staff. They've got, you know, Warren Sapp already, the Marshall Faulks there, who's coaching the running backs. You got Byron Leftwich in. It's a big name. You got Pat Shurmur. You got a lot of big names. So they're certainly putting as many dollars into this football situation as they possibly can. But Coach Prime said the next phase is we're going to win differently, but we're going to win. I don't know if it's going to be the Hail Marys at the end of the game, but it's going to be hell during the game because we want to be physical and we want to run the heck out of the football. Well, that's why you bring in one of the best running backs of all time in Marshall Faulk, certainly up there. He was asked about first season, you know, not being around Shedeur Sanders. And he said it felt a little weird. It's a little strange. It is. It's got to be. Because those guys, the Sanders family, they are a tight group. You know, Dion with his sons. And now you got to do this without them. It's got to feel like you're the junior and all your best friends were seniors and they graduated and you're still in high school. But I'm curious to see because I think, you know, as much as we're talking about the Mountain West and the Pac-12, there's always going to be pressure on the Colorado Buffaloes because of who Coach Prime is, how he approaches things. And now Shedeur is carrying that too because I witnessed it. You even hint at criticism toward one of those guys and you're going to hear it from that interesting fan base. But there's one side that absolutely wants to see Coach Prime fail. There's another side that even if he fails, they won't admit that he fails. I've talked to a lot of those diehard fans, or at least messaged back and forth, because it is a curious thing to me. You know, I know he's popular, but I've never been... I'm a fan. That's how I got into doing sports talk radio. I've never been such a fan of a player where they can do no wrong. I'm a diehard Nikola Jokic fan. You know this, Michael. Greatest player in Colorado sports history. But I'll admit when he's done wrong, he's not always right. He flops. He makes bad decisions. That he does. But with Coach Prime, with the diehard fans, like they could do no wrong, and or he could do no wrong, and they're 100% behind him no matter what happens. That first game of the season, too, for the Colorado Buffaloes. Georgia Tech, August 29th. It's Friday night. Ooh. Is that going to be our first? That'll be our first Rocky Mountain College kickoff show, I believe. So we'll set the tone right before that game. Colorado Buffs going up against Georgia Tech. A lot of the wise guys kind of have the Buffs and the Rams projected around that 6-7 win mark. It could be kind of an average type of year around here. I think Air Force is going to be good. I think they're going to bounce back. Although that's a test too with Air Force. I'm curious there because they can't bring in the transfers like everybody else can. So this could be that first, if we see a repeat of last year, although they got better as the season went on, late in the season, but if we see a repeat of last year, then I think we're going to start looking at it going, wow, maybe Air Force, maybe those schools can't survive at least be successful in this new wave of college sports. And I'm going to talk about this. Ross Dellinger put together a story on a potential collective bargaining agreement. Not that there is one, but there's whispers about what that would look like at the D1 FBS level. And that would change, again, everything about the NCAA. And it would make the UNCs of the world, it would be a really, the Northern Colorados of the world, put them in a really tough spot. Colorado State, I still maintain they're kind of a tweener school. They're not there. It's kind of like the Pac-12. Pac-12 is not a Power Four, but it's not necessarily a group of five or six or seven or whatever it is now. That's where I kind of put Colorado State. They're somewhere in between. And the reason that they're at least somewhere in between is because of their facilities being, 45 minutes north of Denver, that kind of thing. Not necessarily because of their play on the field. They haven't been good. They were solid last year. We all know about the schedule and things like that. But it is what it is. They won eight games. They got back to a bowl game. They won their rivalry game. Well, won two rivalry games. But is that enough? So I am so ready for the storylines to really start to unfold. Think about this, guys. Like, this is what we love about doing on this show. Broncos training camp is great. You know, talking about the Broncos is wonderful. But the stories around this state, not just in the state, around it, because I'm very curious to see what Jay Sovell does in year two with Caden Salter at quarterback. Imagine defense is going to be good. But the storylines, Deion Sanders, first year without Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter in the college world. What does that look like? Does they need to win? Like I said, they're putting a lot of money into it. Same with Colorado State. John Weber, I like the guy. He is talking a big game. He is very aggressive. I put my rapid fire questions out to the Coloradoans, Kevin Lytle. We get to that every week. Most weeks. He was off for a while. He's getting married. But I asked him, biggest takeaway from your chat with John Weber? And he said, aggression and belief. Time will tell the success level, but Weber has big confidence in CSU doing huge things. And it's different than when Joe Parker said it. It just sounds much bigger. 17 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break here. Cody Tucker, what does he expect from this Cowboys team? It was a rough season last year, pretty much from the get-go. I mean, like, almost the first play offensively for them. Are we going to see a turnaround for the Wyoming Cowboys? Cody Tucker will join me next. I'll get his thoughts, too, on the legal dispute between the Mountain West and the Pac-12. Get the Mountain West perspective. Cody will be joining us every single week now. He's back. And he tells it like it is, and I love that. We'll be right back.
What's next for the Colorado Rockies?
I'm getting better.
No, you're not. You'll be stone dead in a moment.
Keep it on Northern Colorado's home for Rockies games and discussions.
I feel fine.
103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling, like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
Talking a little Wyoming Cowboys football with the one and only Cody Tucker. And I do mean the one and only. You're not going to find any beat writers quite like Cody. And Cody, I mean that in the most positive way. Don't hurt me, okay? But I got to tell you, have you seen the beard? My beard might rival what I've seen on your face before, Cody. It's getting there because the Rockies can't win 35 games.
I was actually going to bring that up and kick the season off the right way asking about your beard. You need to keep that thing as long as you can, man. Don't worry about the Rockies. I'm sure you're beating women off of the stick, for one. And second of all, It's going to turn gray on you like it did me, so you better enjoy it while you can.
Well, I'm starting to find, like, I have a white dog, too, so I'm starting to find, like, white hairs in my beard. I'm like, is that my dog? Is that real? And then I try to pull it, and no, it sticks. It's in there. So I'm starting to see, I got red in there, I got brown in there, white. It's a colorful little beard, man. I've never let it get this full before, so I'm actually pretty impressed with my beard growing ability here.
Yeah, it looks good, man. And, you know, what better reason than the Rockies not pulling off 35 wins? I mean, you set yourself up for disaster, and now you got a whole new look.
I know. At this point, I'm like, I don't even care anymore. You know, I got the long hair. It's not. It's whatever. I'm changing the look. Cody Tucker joins us. He's going to be back at it with us every week here on the whole show, 7220sports.com. And Cody, NFL scouts were on site at Wyoming's practice. Was that on Sunday? Checking out some big names. I know one of those big names, John Michael Gillenborg, expecting huge things from a huge tight end.
Yeah, he's really good, man. And he's got all the measurables that NFL scouts absolutely drool over, including being, you know, faster than the majority of the wide receivers in this conference. So, just a big, strong guy, 6'5", 245 pounds, and he's just making all the plays as always. And like Savelle said the other day, man, if that guy stays healthy, I mean, you're talking freak stuff. You're talking – I don't think you're going out on a limb at all to be talking Trey McBride stuff. You just hope Savelle gets him the ball in the red zone, unlike CSU ever did with McBride. But it's worked out pretty good for that kid, too.
Yeah, it's still one of the biggest crimes in football that Trey McBride had. What did he have, like two touchdowns in that final year with Steve Adazio? That was insane.
I think one was even on a fake punt.
You're right. Yeah, he just had to do it in a very unconventional way. What are you making of this team at this point? Because last year, you and I were in the same boat. I loved the game Jay Savelle was talking. Like, hey, we're gonna be the same Cowboys. We're going to run the ball. We're going to play great defense. But we're adding that wrinkle. We're going to throw the ball around a little bit. Pretty much from throw one. The throwing side of it was kind of doomed for the Cowboys. What are you seeing with this group so far?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, throw one, literally. Brutal start as far as that goes. But this, you know, all you can say is, man, the rent came due at a lot of positions last year, starting with the left tackle, Nate Geiger, who was hurt 10 plays into the season. And, you know, he was a redshirt freshman. He'd never played before. And then he was replaced by a redshirt freshman who had never played before. So, the rent came due there real quick with no depth. And then we saw the wide receiver core, no depth. And, you know, in a lot of spots, safety, immediately no depth. And, you know, when you have a quarterback that things don't pan out for, that's the most important position in all of sports. And, you know, they also, this staff takes a lot of responsibility for what happened to Evan Sabota, that they didn't put him in a position to succeed. And that also came in many ways because of depth. The wide receiver core, by all accounts, was a complete nightmare on and off the field last year for the most part. And, you know, at running back, Jay Savelle said numerous times, people would gripe that, why didn't you go to Caden Anderson earlier? And he said, you know, we needed Evan Sabota's running ability because we didn't have any running backs. So it was just, it was a nightmare, and they were behind the eight ball, literally, like you said, from the word go. I think you saw elements in there, especially in New Mexico, where they put up 604 yards of total offense. That was Caden Anderson's first start. And he absolutely torched New Mexico. You know, and you got to keep that in perspective. New Mexico's defense wasn't exactly world beaters, but hell, Wyoming's offense wasn't either, and they scored 5 first half touchdowns in a row. So that kind of showed you what it was capable of. And now they feel like they have way more depth, way more athleticism at all positions on the skill side on the offense.
Well, talk to me about Evan Sabota too. Like, what does his role look like on this team?
They're really impressed with him, to be honest with you. And I saw some plays. We were able to watch the first 3 practices, and we will be able to watch practice a scrimmage on Thursday night inside War Memorial Stadium. But he's transitioned, by all accounts, into a really good tight end. They've only been a little concerned with the blocking aspect. This is a kid who's been at quarterback camps and stuff since he was like 10 years old. He's never played another position. So he's really transitioned nicely. He's using all the mental aspects of being a quarterback and using that at the tight end spot. Really smart kid, really dedicated kid, obviously has an unbelievable body. And it looks like he's going to be a nice tight end. Every time you talk about John Michael Gillenborg, you know, you tend to skip over Evan Sabota because you're like, you know, how good could he really be right off the bat? And these coaches always make sure to stop you right in your tracks and go, no, Evan's, Evan's going to play a lot, and he's one of our go-to targets.
Is he? Yeah, that's what I was going to, you know, obviously you're behind a guy we just spent time talking about in Gyllenborg, but is Svoboda like the number two tight end, at least at this stage on the depth chart?
Yeah, I think it's pretty safe to say. Tight end is a loaded position in Laramie right now. They're really excited about this Jake Wilson kid who's a redshirt freshman and just tough as nails. He's apparently their best blocker, but as far as route running and pass catching ability, I think it's really safe to say we're going to see Evan Svoboda, number 86 now, for all those freaking out about his jersey number last year. Number 86, I believe, will be number two on the depth chart.
Do you think we'll see, Svoboda potentially throw the football still, trick plays, whatever, that kind of thing?
I guess it's always there, and it'd be always in the opposing defensive coordinator's mind, but I don't know. I mean, you might recall Brady. I mean, he ended last year on a real high note. He was the starting quarterback against Washington State, and all they did was go into Pullman and find a way to win. And
yeah,
Svoboda hits Gyllenborg with 29 seconds left to cap off that upset. So it's possible. It's possible, and I'm sure they want others thinking that as well.
At the quarterback position, Caden Anderson, you mentioned him before. And like we said, with Svoboda, it was from the get-go, the pick six, and that was kind of the story at least through 60%, 70% of the season. With Caden Anderson, what do you see there as far as the hope, the changes, being kind of a 50-50 type team, throwing the football but still committing to that run game?
This cat has unbelievable moxie. He's kind of got that it factor, and I'm not necessarily talking about all the intangibles like throwing it a mile and all the stuff that we thought, that Evan possessed, but just the leadership, people rally around him. He's got a great personality. He's a guy people want to be around. They really gravitate toward him. So, and he's very smart. He makes all the plays. I mean, this guy, he suffered two torn ACLs at South Lake Carroll High School in the Metroplex. If he doesn't suffer two torn ACLs, I mean, this is a kid who's maybe at Oklahoma State or TCU or who knows. He's very talented. I mean, he was Quinn Ewers' backup in high school. So he's kind of got it. And, South Lake Carroll was also a team, keep in mind, that played on ESPN and played in Jerry's World with, 70, 80,000 people in the stands. So this isn't new to him. Last year when he started at New Mexico, he wasn't rattled at all. And the thing I think that really stuck out to me, Brady, was against New Mexico, he's getting face mask to face mask with the defensive end and getting into it. And he's kind of got a little Brett Favre in him as far as that goes. So I really like this kid. The coaches are so high on him. We haven't even written a lot about him this spring because it's just so steady Eddie that there's not a lot of stuff to report. He's just moving right along and leading this offense, and he's got a hell of a lot more weapons than he had to play with last year.
Yeah, let's talk about some of those weapons. Cody Tucker joining us, 7220sports.com, talking all things Wyoming Cowboys. At the running back position, obviously, a change there, but Sam Scott, seems like people are pretty high on this guy being able to replace Harrison Whaley, who was so good, thought he was coming back, and then obviously didn't end up that way. But talk to us about Sam Scott.
Yeah, Sam Scott's a guy, honestly, he was their most steady guy last year. He's a big guy. He transitioned from the linebacker spot to running back before the Arizona Bowl in 2022. Really athletic guy. But he's also, he was kind of, he was injured during the spring. He suffered a real deep knee bruise toward the end of the year, so he kind of was a non-factor late. And honestly, from all accounts, it sounded like he was getting kind of passed up, as he sat out with an injury. It sounded like he might get Wally Pipped a little bit, but now that he's healthy, man, he's really showing up in practice, and there's so much more competition in that room. I tell you what, Max White is really impressive. He's a tough little son of a gun from Iowa who didn't get a lot of playing time, but he was, always winning the awards, like the team awards of like hustle and, being the tough guy and being such a good teammate and stuff like that. And he's a guy that Jay Sawbell says you have to tell him ho, not whoa, or what I mean?
So, yeah, sure.
And just a really good back. And then Demaja Harris, a big kid from North Texas. He's been kind of hampered with a little bit of a shoulder, but he's a really good player too. But I tell you what, they got a kid right now, a freshman that Jay just can't help but bring up. And he already said he's burning his red shirt. This kid, Samuel Tote Harris, we got to see a little bit of his speed, and it's legit. He ran a 10-500-yard dash in high school, and he owns a bunch of high school state records in Texas, and he's just lightning quick. And Sawbell's mentioned numerous times, like, man, I've never seen a running back make the moves this guy's making. And the big thing this year, Brady, is last year Jay's got all the metrics and all that, but they did not break tackles last year. They couldn't break tackles. You know, it'd be blocked for an 8-yard gain, and somebody get a shoestring. And he just he needs that to be they need that to be better, and they need that to be improved. And so far, so good as we've seen in practice.
Do you see more of a focus on a commitment to run the ball, or do you think that we're still going to kind of see everything that Jay Sawbell kind of talked about before last season was mixing in, you know, more of that passing attack because certain Cowboys fans pulling their hair out. They, you know, you got a great run game, great defense, but where's the pass when you need it if you're down? Do you see that kind of still being the plan going forward?
You know, they got their Cowboy toughness questioned a lot last year, and that hasn't been questioned in a decade around here. And when I say Cowboy toughness, I'm talking mainly about the offensive line. They got pushed around a lot. They had a real weakness at left tackle because of a kid who just didn't have any experience. And, you know, then when your quarterback can't throw the ball and is not connecting with guys, you're one-dimensional. And if that's your one dimension and you're not, you know, quote-unquote Cowboy tough, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to move the ball. And they just didn't. It didn't happen. And I keep pointing back to that New Mexico game because that's what it was supposed to look like from day one. And now I can't tell you enough, Brady. They're so much better at the wide receiver spot, so much healthier and better at the tight end spot. The offensive line is now, you know, potentially 8-9 deep, which last year it proved to be about, you know, not even 5 deep. It was really tough at times. So it's just better. It's better across the board. Plus, you got Caden Anderson's feet wet already, and they really feel like they have a big, talented, way more athletic, way quicker backfield right now. One that a source told me rivals 2016, which featured Brian Hill, Nico Evans, Kellen Overstreet, Sean Wick, a lot of guys who Wyoming fans will remember as some of the best running backs in recent memory.
Who do you see outside of Gillenborg? Like, who do you see emerging like as that number one option at wide receiver for Caden Anderson?
To me, well, it's two guys really. I mean, Jalen Sargent really picked it up toward the end of the year. He should have been playing honestly for the last couple of years. It's really kind of depressing to think this is already a senior year after what he did late last year. He's one of the top deep threats in the Mountain West Conference. He's a guy that I like downfield. Chris Durr Jr. is an absolute nightmare on third downs, third and shorts, crossing routes, going over the middle, getting in the flat. He's just a pain in the neck to deal with. And I don't think Jay Sawbell, you know, people around here, football really matters here, Brady. Even though it's the least populated state in the country, football really matters. And people are still stuck on this 3-9 thing. And, you know, which, yeah, it was 3-9. It was bad. But what the guys that are coming back to this 3-9 program, John Michael Gillenborg, Chris Durr Jr., you know, center Jack Walsh, right guard Caden Barnett, these are guys who could have made big, big money on the open market. And they could be playing right now at Notre Dame, Texas A&M, things like that. They're not, because they believe in their head coach and they believe they can win here and they don't want to leave. I truly believe this isn't just coach speak. They don't want to leave on that note. They did not want to leaving the Wyoming football program at 3-9.
Cody Tucker joining us, 7220sports.com, talking Wyoming Cowboys. Cody, while I have you, and I know you hate the legal stuff, Go Pokes was texting in. He's like, Cody hates what's going on with the Mount West Pac-12 stuff, which for me, like on the football side, it adds a little extra juice now when you get the exiting teams taking on the staying teams. Makes those games maybe a little more interesting. But my poll question today, I'm asking, like, who's right in all of this? And honestly, I go back and forth. I don't necessarily blame the Mountain West for whatever they're being accused of doing. Cause it's like, you're leaving, we're going to fill our teams and we're going to do it, or fill our conference, and we're going to do it whenever we want to with Grand Canyon, get them in. I kind of don't blame them for doing things like that. And I know that's a major concern for some of these Pac-12 teams.
No, I mean, are you asking me to cross the picket line here?
Yes, I am.
No, hell no, man. The Mountain West, you know, I'm not going to pretend to know all about this stuff. Don't get me wrong. I'm not diving deep into this stuff. But you know, these other Mountain West schools put in the same kind of parameters. Like, if you leave, this is what you pay to leave. And, you know, what short memories we have that San Diego State and Boise State were threatening to leave, you know, just a handful of years ago. And teams like Colorado State and Utah State put those kind of language in the paperwork. So, you know, it was kind of funny. Yesterday, Jay Sawbell, it was media day in Laramie, and Jay Sawbell was asked about, you know, these departing members, which, by the way, it wasn't weird in Las Vegas. None of the above. These coaches are just, you know, this is above their pay grade kind of thing, and they're just there to coach ball, and they all get along. But yesterday, somebody had mentioned it to him, and he said, you know, in Wyoming, we may be the least populated state, but we bring the entire state. And he's like, some of these other schools, a.k.a. departed schools, don't even bring their own city. And maybe a shot at San Diego State, you know.
Yeah.
I might go out on a limb and say that. I just don't think it's on the front of people's minds that aren't in president's offices and, you know, athletic director's offices. So it's just, let's line up and play.
Well, and I like that quote, too. Like, hey, we may be not a very well-populated state, but with the people we have, they are freaking passionate about Cowboys football. And what is not to love about a fan base like that?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's what Wyoming's always had. And, you know, I always kind of thought to myself, if it came down to this, you know, the TV market thing and all that, the media market's really going to hurt Wyoming. But you always kind of hoped in the back of your mind that they would say, hey, man, you know, San Diego State doesn't draw anybody. Some of these other schools, their home crowds are just flat embarrassing. And I'm talking about some schools that are still in the Mountain West, of course. But it's just it's not about that. It's not about that at all. And, you know, and then you get into the excuses too, like, hey, do you know how hard it is to drive across Wyoming and get to Laramie in the winter? Like, it's amazing that there's 15,000 people here considering there's a blizzard. But, you know, just all those things. Wyoming fans truly are some of the most passionate. And I'll say it right now. I have no qualms saying it. Wyoming has the best home field advantage in all of the Mountain West. It's an incredible atmosphere. They're right on top of you. It's fun. It's really become the place to be.
Last one for you, Cody, and we'll let you slide out, man. Is this going to be a turnaround season for the Cowboys? Starting up August 28th, they're at Akron. You got Northern Iowa in the mix. Colorado's in the mix. Do you see the Cowboys with pretty significant turnaround this upcoming year?
You know, I do. And think about it, last year, as bad as things were, Brady, they lost four games by, you know, 10 points or less. They're that close to being a 7-win bowl team last year. And on the flip side, the year prior when they won 9 games, they were 5 games away from being a 3 or 4 win team too. So it's just, you like to think that with the depth and the competition and everything, that it's, there's just no way it couldn't be better than that. But Akron's going to be so telling. That's a team, I haven't done a deep dive on them by any stretch, but that's a team who can't even participate in a bowl game this year. That's a team that you can't imagine is pulling in the most high-profile transfers. That's a team you'd imagine didn't have much NIL. It's also a program where you think, you know, they've been really bad, like 8 wins over the last 10 years. The Cowboys need to go in there and kick their ass, and that's all there is to it. And once that happens, Then we'll talk. But as of now, I think anybody who tells you they know, they're full of it. There's just so many transfers and there's so many new faces across the college landscape. We saw it last year at Arizona State. They were picked 16th out of 16 teams in the Big 12, and they end up in the college football playoff. That was a really, really, really good program. And so you just never know. And anybody who says otherwise, they don't have a clue.
Well, and you look at like Oklahoma State. They were picked to win their conference and dominate, and look what happened. They didn't win one conference game. So I'm with you. I don't pretend to know. I guess, and we see what happens. Obviously, once we get into the season, we start learning a little bit more. But Cody, always appreciate your work, man. Diving in on all things Cowboys. Looking forward to following along with you this season.
Thank you, Brady. Always good to talk to you. Love the beard.
All right, man. I was joking earlier. I don't know if it rivals yours. When you grow that bad boy out, I don't know if we're there yet.
It doesn't. But I'm going to make you feel good. Mine's at least gray.
Cody, appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you next week.
See you, brother.
Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com. Well, he's confident that there's a turnaround. How big of a turnaround? And what are the expectations for Cowboys fans? Like, if they get 6, is that good enough? Or are you expecting bigger things from this Cowboys team? 12:43 the time. Michael, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I love when I do a poll question that does involve CSU. And then I always get, whenever CSU's win, a CSU slanted answer is winning the poll debate, you know, I get the Buffs fans, and in this case, the Cowboys fans that are like, oh, your listening audience is just Rams fans. I have logical fans. I have fans. I don't have fans. We have listeners. They listen to the show. They are logical. That's what we bring to the whole show. Well, Michael kind of takes it down a little bit, so I got to bring the logic up a little bit more. So you're saying, hey, the reason the Pac-12 is winning the vote today, who's right in the Pac-12 Mountain West dispute? 57% say Pac-12. 43% saying Mountain West. It's not that far off. So I do think we have logical listeners. That's the Lorado Whiskey Poll question of the day. If you do not follow me, make sure you do so at Whole Show. And you can stay involved with the program well after it's over, too. We're throwing stuff out every day. So make sure you do that. 49 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break here. I'm going to wrap it up. This is the second hour, at least. I want to get to the collective bargaining dreams of college sports and where that might go. Buy or sell. Top 25. Opponent preview. Colts. Broncos. We'll get to that coming up in the final hour as well. We'll be right back.
Things Eaton Reds football tonight at 5 on KFKA. Presented by Eaton A&W.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. I'm the man.
Is that going to be Bo Nix's theme song again in his sophomore year, season?
He's going to have a boombox. Rocking out.
No, that's only certain rookie quarterbacks can do that, Mike. And if you say anything about it, look out. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Bring me your text. Top text Tuesday. Go Pokes hitting us up with what's this one here? Oh, in reference to what Cody said, I'm evidently full of it because I know about this team. He said he's throwing out the quote. I do like this quote here from Jay Sawbell. We had two NFL scouts here Sunday. One was from Tampa Bay, and the other was from Houston. We had two incredible practices in a row, and I asked the questions, do you see a lot of practices like this? And they were like, we haven't seen a practice like this in years. So that's cool. I mean, that's what you're hearing coming out of Wyoming is that it's going to be a very physical team. Combat is what you're hearing, too. You never know until they get out there on the field, especially in 2025, with transfers and guys coming in, guys leaving. But I like when a quarterback transitions to a tight end. I don't know why I find that fascinating. I mean, you see this in college football all the time. You know, a safety will move to running back or an offensive lineman will move around on the line. But when you see a quarterback go to the tight end position, I just want it to work. I want it to work out. And I know the UNC Bears are doing that with one of their players. It's a former Wyoming Cowboy, too. So I love it. So I'm rooting for that. It'll be fun. Buy or sell, coming up next. It's The Whole Show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.